Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. Fun. Football is fun. Super Bowl coming up is fun. Road trips are fun. Griffin's back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Our home base every Friday is Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. And Greg Salerno is hanging out, probably has ordered, although he's been a little sheepish of late, he's probably ordered the chicken salad sandwich, I think. Greg, have you done what you're supposed to do every Friday?
I just found out I was sitting here by myself all afternoon, so I haven't done anything yet. I don't know. Looking around. I see some awesome HD screens. I see a lot of stuff going on. I see some cool places you can gamble some money, but I have not got around to the food yet. But I will tell you, I love the chicken salad. My next thing is going to be the bison burger, so I haven't got that one yet, but that's going to be next.
Did you literally not know I wasn't there, like, the second? Like, I wasn't there 2:59:55, and then hear me down the line?
Yeah, no, like, I literally knew you weren't going to be here, I don't know, 47 seconds ago or something.
That's crazy. It's like we didn't message you on that, but maybe we didn't. I don't know. Maybe we didn't. I am in beautiful Reno, which is about 8 degrees cooler than Las Vegas. By the way, that's not the way it's supposed to be, so Vegas, warm up a little bit. But I hear that's coming this weekend. That's good.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, though, because supposedly the mountains were going to have all the snow and stuff, and I was all excited. That never happened, but then now it's going to get warmer, so yeah. I guess it wouldn't have mattered.
No water. I feel like I'm talking to my parents right now. We're talking about the weather. You know what we need to do? Let's hit a hot topic in sports, like I mentioned to Griffin yesterday. Let's make sure we get to Cam Newton, MVP or Super Bowl winner. What's more important? That's coming up a little later on. I will start a little offbeat. I usually don't like to mix this in until the middle of the show, because I think it's lame talking about me and my travel. But I made some observations the last couple of days, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah.
Because obviously I'm in a destination city, especially for Northern California, in Reno. You are in Las Vegas. I'm normally in Las Vegas, the king of all destination cities in the yes. United States. I have thoughts. First of all, everyone who listens to the show knows I'm extremely frugal. Yet somehow I buy enough food to stay at a max chubby level. It's hit me a couple weeks ago, and I'm sure it's hit everyone else. There is no way you can eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, fast food, and you're not going to be around at least $20 a pop. I'm just saying that's the minimum.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
no
yeah.
matter what you get, I can go in to a convenience store and I'm like, I'm going to get a soda. And a couple of snacks. 20. Like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Last night, and I was talking about this with Willie middle of the week, because, you know, we may have a little issue coming up with who's going to be grabbing all the greenage all around the country. And I said, are we ready for $25 salads? And last night, because I'm trying to do something about the tubbiness, Greg.
Yes.
So I'm trying to cut down a little bit. Let's not have the blood pressure go through the roof. So I'm trying to eat some more salads. And I'm like, you know, you go out, they make a nice salad. I did two salads last night, not just for me, but the SO was there. We did two salads. I'm trying to drink less beer. So I did a jalapeno pineapple margarita, which was actually kind of cheap, but it wasn't made well. But the margarita and two salads, two waters, still $45. I'm like, can we make this work? And actually, we got the medium sized salads, because both of the regular salads were at $19.99. When do we eclipse the $20 mark for each salad?
Oh, soon. Within I would say 2 weeks, because if you look, now we're doing I think we're taxing Canada, Mexico, or whatever on cabbages and whatever. So it's going to go up. So yeah, it's going to get worse. I don't know how you're going to get thin.
Yeah, I don't know. How about move?
Yeah,
actually,
that's a thing.
I'm at the beautiful Lotus Studios here in Reno. They're nice enough to lend me a studio. Really yeah. swanky setup. It's good. I think it was 2.4 miles away. I am going to walk back, and I think most of it's uphill. I'm going to walk back to the hotel. That's what I got to do.
Dude, there's going to be openings. Maybe if I get a job picking the cabbage, I'll lose weight.
Well,
you're just doing that.
You actually, both of us should do it. That's how we get
shape,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying I'd
I'm
now
saying
we
you're
more.
Complaining when I know the answer is just go do something.
Yeah, there's certainly manual labor jobs out there. So, hey fellas, stop talking about on the radio. Stop doing radio, do it part-time, and go move a little bit.
Yeah.
Biggins?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, next one. I've now come up, this is another travel tale. I've now come up, we need the sponsor. I've now come up with a new way of prepping the show. Because I get here early, want to make sure I'm on the ground most of the time, right? I get to the city early.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let me prep the show. At home, I normally start, you know, make sure I'm on the computer 8:30, 9 o'clock, you know, doing a bunch of stuff, social media. I've now decided I will not sit in hotel rooms and prep because it's too quiet. It's almost too quiet. It's like too boring.
Yes.
So I actually will sit in the hotel lobby now. That is, I will tell you, because all these hotel lobbies now have, you know, plug-ins, chargers, pretty good.
Right.
I will tell you, the hotel lobby, we'll have to run this by Adam Hill, who's going to come in, our Raiders insider in the 5 o'clock hour. The hotel lobby, if you sit there for 10 minutes, 20, an hour, hour and a half, is a whole different ecosystem. I don't think I realize what these people at the front desk have to deal with.
Oh, yeah. No, it's unbelievable. And it's funny because there's a guy that exists that's you. Like, there's always the guy working in the lobby. I don't know if you ever noticed that before. Maybe there's always the guy working.
And I always looked at that guy, and I'm like, what are they doing the whole time? What's going on here?
I know. But I know your point because from living in hotels for all those months, I had to sit in lobbies a lot, you know, waiting for my rooms to be ready.
That's right. Yeah.
And just watching them do things, the things they have to put up. Like, you wouldn't think, like, you think maybe, oh, something's wrong with my room. You wouldn't think, like, hey, this croissant's 2 days old. Or, you know what I mean? People have, like, these complaints that you would never think that a front desk person has to deal with.
I don't ask for anything. I've had recent times, maybe two of the last 15 stays at different places, work or non-work, like, the TV didn't work. And I was like,
yes!
I'm like, I feel like bothering him. I mean,
dude, sorry,
go ahead.
There's a guy they because this has happened to me at the hotel. There's a guy they have to call, and instead of like, hey, maintenance is coming, he's called the engineer, and he only comes at like certain times, and he has like this cart with like 500 remotes on it and plugs and different cables or whatever, and he's the engineer, and he's the only guy that can fix your TV.
Oh boy, you sent me on a tangent there. What if our old engineer is doing that now? Oh my lord, there are so many
there's so many TVs out in that building.
Exactly. 50-50 if you're gonna get a room with a TV, 50-50 if it gets fixed during your stay. But there were so many, you're right, there's so many things. First of all, the approach that people have to the front desk, and I think it's mostly the age group a little above me, because I don't think it's my parents, they're outside of the boomer, sorry boomers, sure. But I see you walk up and you guys are like, I'm almost jealous with the bravado. They're so demanding, and there's not even like a hello. Like,
right?
Do you have this? Like, hey, how about a greeting?
Yes. No, I know. I guess I'm trying to think of a better word, but I guess entitlement or something like that would be a great
word
for it.
Word.
I don't know what it is.
But here's the thing. You're paying somewhere to let you stay there, and at the bare minimum, they're like, here's a bathroom, here's a bed, get in, get out. You probably should take advantage of everything you can get.
It's true. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I understand, but I mean, some people just come in there expecting things they weren't even promised. It's like, you know.
Well, I saw.
What do you
mean
you don't have a company car I can drive? Or what? Like,
I saw one woman walk up, and she was apoplectic that the free breakfast they normally serve during the week, not available on the weekends. Won't be there tomorrow. I'm like, this guy's going to have to fist fight this woman to get her away from the desk. Another one. Did you know you can order extra pillows?
I didn't know they caught. Are they extra money? I don't know. I knew you could ask for stuff, but I never did it because I was always being frugal. But
because I've stayed at some flea bag motels, and you get like the real thin paper thin, filled with like branches and leaves. You get the paper thin pillows, and I like to have a pillow between my legs, not to get too graphic.
No, me too. It's called the Rod Knocker. I named it when I was younger.
and not only did the person who asked for the pillows, the greeting was. Foam or feathers? I was like, what secret society? They have multiple pillow options? It's great.
That's amazing, honestly.
So I think that's going to be part of the show now. Just travel tales, not like Peter Kane. Yeah. If you know the NFL guy used to just kind of whine about flight delays and like deal with it, brother.
I met that guy at the Super Bowl after. Never mind.
How was he?
It's fine. He was fine.
Hey, was he?
I
don't like the way he eats popcorn. I know we blew that out, but we have audio of him eating popcorn when you're on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was very animalistic, just chomping away in a conversation with Jerry Jones. And you're like, dude, come on. Please. All right, we got Mark McMillan coming up in about 5 minutes. Griffin always sends over stories. Greg does a great job of prepping the show. So we got a lot of good stuff to get to today. I'm not really even sure why. I think Griffin knows what's going to happen with this. He found a story where Bill Belichick is giving credit to the players, like very heavy credit to the players, for helping him land all these Lombardi trophies, winning Super Bowls. Uh-huh. And he's going on and on about the play. You got to have the players. And then he turns it into, Tom Brady's the ultimate winner. Maybe we need to rename the Super Bowl trophy to the Brady Trophy. And I don't have a car, but if I could drive off the road, I love Tom Brady like a brother. He's a beautiful man. He's running our Raiders in Las Vegas. It's going to make it a lot of fun, but I'm sorry. Like, Vince Lombardi is one of the rocks.
Right.
Or are you going to come out? Is this going to be an age thing where you're like, time passes, you got to come up with fresh names. The kids don't know who Vince Lombardi is.
Honestly, why stop there? How about the Gulf of Brady? I think we should do that, too.
Belichick just trying to recreate an image. Come on, dude. Clean up your image. Now, here's the thing. Griffin's the one who sent it over, and Griff is more of a 30-something or a late 20-something, whatever he is.
Sure.
I don't think you know who Vince Lombardi is, right?
Are you serious?
Okay, so you know who Vince Lombardi is. I'm sorry I insulted you. That was as bad. That was as bad.
Hey, Griffin, do you know who George Washington is? You weren't born yet. So.
Oh, who? Yeah, I know who he is. Okay.
So why would you? Did you send this over to like incite a riot or a rant?
More of a prediction. I just see the NFL, their golden goose, Tom Brady. They got a young cat in Pat Mahomes right now coming up, building a legacy. He's coming fast for those records Brady's got. So I just can't help but feel like Roger Goodell and those NFL execs are going to, what a great idea. How do we preserve Tom Brady in the history books of the NFL? Let's name our biggest trophy after him. I don't know. I could see it.
Do you know how the old heads would react to that? And I'm not even a true old head yet.
Yeah, no. Honestly, what they should do is put every other team's playbook on the trophy, too. So that way they can see like how he got them and everything. And then just do it that way.
Cheaters!
Yeah.
You don't reward them with any sort of legacy moments. Right. Cheaters. And let's be honest, Griffin. 15 years from now, maybe 12, maybe 5, people are going to want to name the trophy after Mahomes. So why do the bridge guy?
I guess it's more of like, You got to make sure the first GOAT is always remembered. It's great to have one. It's always every sport would love to have one GOAT, but to have two and to make sure that they're remembered forever, I don't know, man. It's a business. At the end of the day, I can see Roger doing it.
I think that NFL Honors thing is tonight, so we'll find out who the MVP is and where the gambling money goes in all these awards. What could they come up for? What could they come up with in terms of an award for Brady? Like NFL's handsomest man each year?
Like the Walter Payton Award for handsome guys?
Sure, it's for the most handsome guy. It'd be a competition because guys would go to the nines to freaking primp and prep. And Brady
That's
has.
True.
I swear to God, he's had plastic surgery or something's happened. He's gotten stuff shaved. He's
possibly taking a trip to Turkey?
What does that mean? Can you do like blood spinning now to look more beautiful as you get older? Or are you talking about HGH to...
No, you could just
anti-aging?
You could just keep the follicles on top of your head more intact for a couple more years.
Oh, you think he's had a hair job?
Oh.
I mean, there's been some people out there saying it.
It's pretty... I'm not saying it's Elon Musk, because clearly he was on the way to Baldsville when he was whatever he was, 24, in some of those old pictures, and now he's got a head of hair. Brady, if you actually look at his pictures coming out of Michigan, his hair is not good.
Yes. No. Well, yeah, nothing is. I mean, his physique isn't great either.
God, he was mushy, wasn't he?
Yes. He had moobs.
Yep. And now the guy, guy's like a sleek 47-year-old.
I know.
Rob Lowe's looking at him like, God dang it. Rob Lowe's like the freak of nature. So is Rick Springfield, that SOB. So let's come up with it. We got to come up with something for Brady because Brady or a guy Griffin wants him to get an award, but he ain't getting the Lombardi Trophy. I'm sorry, man.
No, nah, hell no.
Vincenzo's not losing that trophy.
Is there a quarterback award, like another kind of award? I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else there is.
We'll come up with it.
MVP's we'll
come up with it. I mean, like ultimate competitor. I mean, he's, you know, like the Michael Jordan Award of football. There's no Michael Jordan Award, but everyone thinks Michael Jordan was the ultimate competitor, ultimate winner. We'll come back. We'll get an NFL player's take on this and much more. Former Eagle, former Chief. Uh-oh. Who's he going to root for? And I'm sure he's already thinking about all the places he's going to eat. We've heard about what he's going to cook at Taste of the NFL. Chef Mark on the way.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Well, we got a developing story. Griffin did slip that in. Sorry, Griff, I didn't see that on your story list. We got Turkeygate. Nothing to do with the actual animal, the meat, Tom Brady and his hair. Okay. And beautiful statuesque quarterbacks are going at it over this. We're not beautiful or statuesque. Mark McMillan's a good-looking guy. He's not statuesque, though. He's a, you know, he's, I'll give you like 5'8", Mark. Is that cool? Mark McMillan's with us, up with Greg and Cofield. What's up, buddy?
I'll take 5'8 any day, man.
Exactly. I don't know if you've seen the story, but apparently there's a kerfuffle over Tom Brady, some jealousy from Boomer Esiason. Boomer thinks that Tom went out of the country to go get some a hair job done. His hair does look tremendous for whatever he is, 47 years old.
So that's the topic we're going with Boomer? Boomer still has hair.
That's the thing. He shouldn't be jealous.
Why are you worried about another man's hair? I am.
I'm bald. It irks me that other people have hair, but Boomer's got like a full head of hair, and he's blonde. I will guarantee you, Boomer Esiason's had a hair job. No one that blonde is that hairy at 62 years old. Get out of here, Boomer.
Yeah. Boomer's always throwing the little clicks out there, man. So I got a photo, man, of me trying to take Boomer's head off. I think I'm going to tweet that out and tag Boomer in it. I was like, is this where you get your head job from? Because he was literally diving on the ground trying to avoid me from knocking his head off.
Is that right? All right. I like that. Okay, we got some good talk going out next week. We'll see if Boomer keeps that energy when he faces Cofield and Mark McMillan on Radio Row. Bring it. So this weekend before the Super Bowl is pretty big. They're loading it up now with Hall of Fame, with awards, with the Pro Bowl games. I apologize for not knowing this, but Mark, did you ever go to a Pro Bowl?
I went to the Pro Bowl in 97 when I led the league, but I didn't get voted in. Okay. James Hersey and Dale Carter got voted in, so everybody was so pissed off through the organization from the Chiefs. They actually flew me and my family into the Pro Bowl just so I could enjoy the festivities. So it was a cool little gesture, man, by the Chiefs and by my teammates to pay for my family to go.
What did you think of the game? What did you think of that award or that reward for your entire career? Because a lot of people now rip on the Pro Bowl, the honor, the Pro Bowl games as it is now.
I didn't even watch it. I've seen some commercials of those guys spiking footballs and pulling flags. I was like, they might as well just get rid of it. Just let the guys say, hey, we made the Pro Bowl. If you got that in your incentives, which most of these guys do, that's why they go. Just going to give them their checks, man. But this right now is like, I guess it's good if you're a kid, you get to see your favorite player. But as a former player, we're like, what are we doing? Like, it's like the NBA All-Star game. They're scoring like 200 points a game. Like, what are we doing? That's a joke.
Talking to Chef Mark here, and I got to ask, it's kind of a two-part question. First, I think I know the answer. Who are you rooting for in this Super Bowl? I'm hoping it's the Eagles. And if it's the Eagles, can you please quell my fears? Because I feel like the Eagles are better almost everywhere besides quarterback and maybe tight end, and I still think they're going to lose somehow. I don't know why.
I don't. I got a feeling the Eagles, man. Obviously, I'm pulling for the Eagles. The Chiefs have won enough. You know, they have their share, and I've been able to gloat. But everybody knows, man. My loyalty, my heart is in Philly. They the one that drafted me. Kansas City came on late when I was well seasoned. I'm pulling for the Eagles, man, and they're just playing good football. Brandon Graham is coming back, so that'll help that pass rush a little bit more. He's got a lot of experience. we don't have to worry about no slippery surface like it was last time here in Arizona. It's going to be a fast surface. I just think the Eagles just match up really well against them because they play physical football and they can just dominate at the line of scrimmage. And that's where the Chiefs struggle at the line of scrimmage with their offensive line. So hopefully they can take advantage of that. It's going to be a great game, man. So whenever you have number 15 back there for the Chiefs, man, you just never know what's going to happen. But I need Jalen to get one. He's one of the most underrated superstars in the league, man. All he does is win football games, and people are still bashing him in Philly.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Jalen Hurts was number 2 in the MVP voting in his second year, and people act like he got carried to the Super Bowl or something. It's so ridiculous, and that actually goes to my point about Jalen. Do you think, because you know Spags, I mean, he's got that mentality just like Belichick used to, all these guys, where you take away the other team's best weapon, right, or you take away what they do best. He's going to try his best to take away Saquon. He's going to try everything he can to bottle them up. Do you think Jalen will have it in him and Kellen Moore and these guys designing plays to get the pass game going so they can't do that all game?
I think what the relationship that they have right now is going really well. Obviously, during the season, like I said a couple weeks ago, they always play two high safeties. Spags likes to get after it. You know, he likes to put his corners on the island. I would take my money. I would take A.J. Brown against any of those corners from even McDuffie. You know, he's a great corner, all pro for the Chiefs. But A.J.'s just too physical, man. He's a beast. And then you got to worry about Devontae. You know, even Dallas Goedert's been playing well at the tight end position. So they've been playing really well on the offensive side of the ball. Hopefully all the offensive linemen are healthy. That's going to be a big key. But Chris Jones is going to have something to say about that because he's one of the best in the business. And, you know, getting upfield, and especially with our center being, you know, a young guy. So we got to we'll see how that fares off. But I think Jalen, man, he's ready, man. He doesn't show his emotions, and I know people want him to be fired up and throw his fists around, but and the neutralizer, man, is Saquon Barkley. I don't care who you are, he's not been stopped all year, and I don't see it happening come next week.
Mark McMillan is with us here on Cofield and Company. Cofield, actually in Northern Nevada at Lotus Reno, and our Friday home in Vegas is the Treasure Island Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. So we talked a little bit about Pete Carroll and speculation on Pete Carroll being the head coach. So quick reaction on Pete Carroll. And I think more important, you very rarely see a DC go through three different head coaches. But the organization likes Patrick Graham as a player. What would – I don't know, as a former player, what do you think of that, that Patrick Graham is still around?
I got mixed emotions from that. Obviously, you know, the defense, he's never really had a full deck. I will give him that. He's never really had a full deck of all guys being healthy in that position. But like I said, obviously Pete Carroll, I can't question Pete Carroll. He's one of the best coaches, you know, in the NFL over the last couple of years. He's won at a high level at USC. So being able to keep Patrick Graham, I think, I don't know what to think of it, but obviously, you know, keeping that core guys together. Obviously, you got to bring back Spillane. I think he's a really key point part of that defense. So you know you'll get some guys back, but you know Patrick Graham must have some film or some tape on some people, man. He keeps staying around.
Well, they believe he's good. They believe he's good. So I just you know I wonder how the philosophy meshes. Right, Pete Carroll's got a certain philosophy. I wonder how it meshes with Patrick Graham, and I wonder if that's going to be a problem early in the season if things aren't going that well. I know you're in Taste of the NFL, big food event, massive charitable contributions. It's going down in New Orleans. It's always at the site of the Super Bowl, so you're one of the many celebrity chefs. You told me last week about, in the audience, what you were serving, how you were prepping. What's the latest on the Taste of the NFL as you will be getting into town midweek next week in New Orleans?
Man, I am actually nervous a little bit, Steve. The emails are coming in. Left and right from the Taste of the NFL. Everybody's so excited. They're like, you know, we've never had an NFL player, you know, serve food or cook like this. So I'm the first one. Obviously, I was the first NFL player to be on Next Level Chef with Gordon Ramsay. So I'm kind of like the pioneer. But I'm a little nervous, man. You know, I feel like a rookie among these guys. But I feel real confident about our dish that we're going to whip up, me and Chef Daryl Shuler, who happens to be a master chef. So I'm in good hands.
How often do you sit around like and think up new stuff? Because I see all your stuff and I'm like, I don't even like you put little like you know your own little touches on things. I'm like, where did he come up with that idea? Like, are you sitting around like a comedian writing out jokes. Do you write down recipes, write down different things, ideas, things you're thinking about doing later?
I am at the Valley Hotel Valley Ho here in Scottsdale on the balcony thinking of my next recipe. I absolutely think about it like I'm thinking about Gardner wide receiver. I just did a collaboration with this company. I can't say the name yet because it hasn't came out yet, but I made a nice little – I made two dips yesterday. So it took me like 4 hours to shoot this content and make this dip. I smoked it in my smoker from Grilla Grill. So I got something really cool coming down the pipeline that they're going to release probably Monday or Tuesday. So stay tuned for that collaboration, man. I'm partnered up with an amazing company with some amazing products.
How busy is Gordon Ramsay? God, I would love to get him on the show. I think we'll get Andrew Zimmern back on. I know he's usually available. We get the celebrity chefs on at Radio Row. Ramsay did do his Kitchen Nightmares road to the Super Bowl, and it was a bunch of New Orleans restaurants, which frankly kind of scared me a lot. Like, I don't know if I can go to those places this week, but do you talk to him? Like, how often do you get to talk to him? You just message him? Because he's going to be on the ground at some point. I just wonder if he's there early enough.
You know what? He's probably one of the most busiest guys in the world. You know, with all these shows, I don't know how he has time to spend with his family. He is always on the go, so you just got to message him and just cross your fingers and hope he messages you back. I know they're gearing up for another season for Next Level Chef that I think airs on the 14th. So they're, I know all the chefs that were on the show before were on Instagram, so they're all like, we're so excited, and obviously we already know the winner. You know, it's Fast Forward TV, but I'm excited for the season, man. They got some amazing chefs that's going to be on there. I just got an email from Guy Fieri's people that about his tailgate party. They invited me to go to their tailgate on Sunday, so I don't know how much time I'm going to be there, but everybody's like, man, we need to get you at Guy Fieri's tailgate party, so... I could be at Guy Fieri's tailgate party, too. That'd be pretty cool to be up there whipping it up with him.
With Gordon, just lie. Be like, hey, I do this show 5 days a week, McMillan and Company. Will you come on? Let's get him on. Come on. At Radio Row.
If you say my name, I guarantee you Gordon will remember my name. You know, we had a really good
I want you to do it. It's your show. It's your show next week. McMillan and Company on Friday.
if we see him there, obviously he's going to be on Ready or Wrong. I'm sure he is. Yeah. He's a huge football fan. He loves the Chiefs as well, but he's a huge American football fan. And he's a rock star, man. What he's doing is he's crushing it. So, yeah. You know, I wouldn't be in this position without him. Obviously, this is a second career for me, and I'm grateful for everything, man. I'm excited for everybody to come out to the taste, man. I know all my NFL alumni buddies, they saw my name on the list. They're like, yo, you're cooking at the Taste of the NFL? I was like, yep. Boy is cooking some barbecue brisket beignets, baby.
Let's do it. Mark, you got a minute left. Important week for Eric Allen is they're doing that NFL honor show on Thursday. All the awards go out. We'll find out who the Hall of Famers are for this class. What's going on with EA?
He's nervous. His wife is nervous. His kids are texting me. They're like my nephews. I call them my nephews. I remember those guys when we were in Philly running through the locker room, and then when we played with the Saints together, they were just little small kids. But it's been long overdue. His wife has been lobbying for this. I know a lot of people have been lobbying. Brian Dawkins has been lobbying for it. Dion. So the host, even in Vegas, man, JT, I know he's been pumping it. Q's been pumping it up. So hopefully he gets his call, man. It's well-deserved. I know a lot of people, you look at his stats, but he's just a great guy, man. And he changed the game from that position. Back in the day, it was him, it was Dion, Chris Dishman, and Daryl Green. Those were the four guys that was the top of their class, and EA was right there with them. And trust me, I was on the other end. While EA was getting maybe two or three balls a game as a rookie, I was getting like 10 to 15 balls. Yeah, so I know the man can ball out.
Mark, have a good week, and we'll see you down in New Orleans. Thank you.
I appreciate it, baby. Let's go!
There is Chef Mark. He's made the full transition. Chef Mark, and now I'm trying to use him to get guests, more celebrity chefs. Come on, bring us Ramsay on Friday. We're about 10 minutes away from talking to Kenny Mayne, another big celebrity, former ESPNer, doing stand-up early in the week next week. All right, so I'm glad Salerno's on. We'll talk to Kenny Mayne, the former UNLV quarterback.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
No Super Bowl party. If you're a true football fan, you do not go to Super Bowl parties, because it's all a bunch of losers who don't watch it all year. And what they do is they talk during the game, and then they shut up during the commercial. And then the game comes back, they're like, oh, how much do you think that one cost? Huh? That's funny, I thought that one stunk. And it's just like, the rage that goes through me. I really sound like a grumpy old man.
He does, Bill Burr. I love Super Bowl parties. It's one of my high points of the year. I live quite the life. I love them. I love being amongst the normies. I'm a normie. I love the commercials, so I will talk the whole game, and then I'll have to go back and watch the game. One of the great big game watch parties in town is at Gilly's inside Treasure Island. Right now, Greg Salerno, Cofield & Company, housed over at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. But coming up on super scintillating seventh day of the week, February 9th, all you can eat, all you can drink, under $200 a head, doors open at 1 o'clock, Gilly's Big Game Watch Party. Gilly's. Go to gillyslasvegas.com for information. We're going to catch up on this hour. Coming up next, Kenny Mayne is in, the former ESPNer, and we're going to talk some UNLV football and his stand-up career playing Kimmel's on Monday.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yep, T.I. Salerno on the scene. He's a comedian. Cofield up at Lotus Reno. Kenny Mayne. He's a comedian, I think. He's playing Kimmel's in Vegas on Monday. The great Kenny Mayne is up with Cofield and Company. Kenny, how are you, sir?
The show's sold out. Thanks, guys. We're good.
Let's not talk any comedy. We don't need to. Is the show really sold out?
No, I have no idea. Okay. I know my wife is coming, and my friend Ron, and some UNLV people, and then they'll probably just drag people off the street. Who knows? We'll find out. I will say, to their credit, and thank you guys for having me as well. I know they reached out. There's been, good promotion for it, so hopefully people want to come and see. It's a little different show. We're showing a movie. It's not just me up there forever. Oh, wow. And I'm going to do about 30 minutes talking about my silly childhood that will set the table to watch my silly movie.
So is this kind of like a monologue, kind of like a Mike Tyson type thing where he goes up there and talks about his life and all that kind of stuff?
Essentially, we're going to start at age 3, my first childhood memory, when I burned my thumb on my birthday cake. We take it all the way through age 11, when I broke my femur, which turns out to be a pretty funny story. So between then and then, I served in the Cub Scouts.
Just fell away.
Fell in love with my third grade teacher. There's a lot of good moments.
Well, Kenny, I do. I've actually done that room. I do comedy myself. So I was wondering, when you're doing a club like that for the first time or something like that, how do you prepare for it? A lot of comics don't prepare at all. Some comics are super over prepared with every word. I mean, are you up there with a few ideas and then you start talking, or do you have it all mapped out in your head what you're going to say?
I think I have the stories. I mean, I know my life. 3, I did the candle. 4, I did a talent show. 5, I stole a candy bar. I know what I did, and my wife is right next to me. She can join in if you want her to. She's funnier than me, but she's been my coach. And, I've been, since we made the deal to do this thing, it was just a silly idea over the holidays. I made a movie, and it's on Fubo Sports, and I thought I had concocted 20, 30 good minutes to lead to the movie and to make an hour type of show. And, I've been rehearsing in my head on my walks in the living room. I play for my dogs. I care.
We're talking to the legendary Kenny Mayne. Did you always, because you always were kind of the comic relief. I don't want to say that. You're a pro. Back, ESPN, SportsCenter, all stuff. You were always, super funny, the funniest guy on there. Did you ever, want to do stand-up back then or anything? Or did you even try?
I think I was afraid to. Now it's just desperation, really. I need something to do. So I'm going to give it a shot. Whatever. I've been in front of audiences, for the upfronts and for banquets and award shows and whatnot. So that part, I don't think I should be all that freaked out. I just hope I keep my stories together.
Kenny Mayne is with us. 7:30 show, right? 7:30 at Kimmel's on Monday?
7:30. It's the number one spot. Most comics want the Monday 7:30, so somehow I was able to win that.
So Greg Salerno's with us. Greg, I've talked to Kenny a bunch of times about UNLV football, and I know you don't cover it as much as I do because I'm actually on the beat.
Sure.
So I wanted you to do kind of a fact-finding with Kenny and the whole Randall Cunningham thing because I think it's a fascinating story, and I think you're going to have better questions than I am, so fire away.
You talking to me?
I'm asking the questions.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm saying to you. So I'll start it out. Kenny, okay. talk about your relationship back in the day, how old you were, how old Randall was, and that whole kind of mix at UNLV football in the early 80s.
I'd say it's one of the most misreported things in sports journalism.
Yep.
Because Randall's Randall, right? If you hear we're on the same team, everybody says Kenny backed up Randall. When it's the reverse, I was second string. Sam King led the nation in passing yards. We beat BYU on the road. We were a pretty okay team that year. We had a couple weird losses, but it was Tony Knapp's last year. And then I was second string, having played the year before a little bit, but I ruined my ankle that year. And then Alan Reynolds from Buell, Idaho, was next. Then Randall, the brother of Sam Cunningham. That was his claim to fame at the time, right?
Yeah.
You could tell, you know, he was going to be amazing. He could throw the ball 80 yards. He had all the talents in the world. He could have played right away. But, you know, Sam was there, and we already had a system going, and I think he would have played if he played. But he'll tell you himself, he knew he was going to be great. They were grooming him for good things later. But I always thought, ultimately, that he had redshirted, but he told me recently, no, he just played 3 years. You know, play. The first year, he didn't play at all, and then he did what he did and went on to the NFL.
Yeah, and obviously Steve Stallworth, who's become a standard across the board in Las Vegas as a casino exec, he was in the mix in the program, and we haven't checked in with you because I generally get to talk to you for a couple minutes at some of the games you go to. You emceed that donut eating contest, which was a disaster in that.
Yeah, Steve, 5 donuts. Come on, man.
I beat the field.
that's an awful field.
Beat the field. Give me a little bit of credit.
All right.
But Kenny, let's talk about Dan Mullen. I mean, the rapidness with which this program has grown to the point where they're like, yeah, you know what? Barry Odom's making $175 a year. Let's double it. Go get Dan Mullen.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, they were one better game away from being in the top 12 for the playoff, right? They just missed. Yep. And each year, it just, you know, like Arroyo took it to a certain level, Odom took it to another level, and then Mullen, you know, over there broadcasting college sports, like it was enough to interest him, right? And he has a good resume. I think it's going to be great, and I love that it just keeps graduating to a better and better place.
Talking to Kenny Mayne on Cofield & Company, do you think that now that Vegas, you know, obviously the NIL, people cry about it and stuff like that, but it's actually helping Las Vegas. And I've lived here since 2003. The team's never been good. Do you think the team being good now is just going to exponentially grow? I mean, because, you know, once you get guys in here, now you get guys from the SEC coming in here, it's going to be a destination city?
Well, I mean, it's impossible to predict at all because, like you said, they'll get some good players. And then, you know, Alabama will come and raid the kitchen and offer them whatever they can right. offer. So everything has changed. It's more like, look at it more like college basketball, right? There's a ton of players who are one and done or two and done. And now college football, one and done or two and done within college, right? They might see a better opportunity. And I don't know, the coaches have had free agency forever. I don't have a problem that the players have it. It's great that they can actually, you know, make something off their talent. It's definitely a little weird getting used to it because you got to pay attention to the roster. Even in UNLV's case, you had to pay attention to it in season, right? Right. With Sluka leaving after 3 games.
Right.
It's a new world.
You know, and to Greg's point about the portal being an advantage for UNLV, when a program doesn't win, I think locally and regionally, people kind of know what the story is and are like, I don't want to go there. And then the way Odom built it and the way Mullen is, they're like, hey, kids from Louisiana and Georgia and the middle of the country and Texas, it's kind of a clean slate. All they know is what's happening recently and the winning, so they don't have any of that stuff stuck in their heads.
Yeah, true enough. The past is the past, and the last couple seasons have been really good. bowl games and almost in the top 12. So, yeah, there's a recency bias for everybody, right? They know the old blue bloods that you can usually count on, and now UNLV is this kind of cool new thing. And especially, you know, because I was in the broadcasting department there, it's such a great destination for kids in that field as an opener. Obviously, hotel administration, the sciences are good. But if you want to cover sports or get to that, there isn't a sport Las Vegas doesn't have. Did I say that? I think I said it right. They have every sport. That's what I'm trying to get at. And it's such a good opportunity for kids to avail themselves of that.
Kenny Means with us. He's doing stand-up slash a show at Kimmel's on Monday, 7:30. Get your tickets. Get out there. See the UNLV alum. You're very familiar with the Seattle market, the Seahawks. What do you think of Pete Carroll? Still trucking along, 73, taking the Raiders job.
Oh, I'm thrilled for him. I don't think he wanted to go at all. You know, they made it as nice as it could be to get rid of a guy. But he wasn't ready to leave. And I was, and I like our new coach, but, you know, I think Pete ain't done. And I think it's really cool that he's coming there. I thought he'd get an opportunity somewhere. He's a young 70-whatever. You know, he goes and throws the ball in practice and does all his usual stuff. I'm wishing him great success, and I hope it turns out well.
I got to get your take on a couple of lighter stories, although we get very intense on this show about it. I don't know if you saw the claim by Boomer Esiason is now going at Tom Brady about his hair, and he's claiming that Tom Brady got a hair job done in Turkey. Is there anything wrong with that, though? You're on TV. Aren't you supposed to look awesome?
Well, it's funny you mention that because maybe 15 years ago, I did a story about Tom Brady's hair, and the premise was that Justin Bieber was mad at Tom Brady for ripping his look off. And you can Google it. We went to Justin Bieber concert. He was about 14, 15. He was just kind of coming to be a name. And we got Brady to play with the curling iron. And I don't know about the current story. I just know the one I did.
I just think Boomer's a little jealous. I'm not sure what he's jealous of. I think Boomer has a good head of hair, unless he's wearing a rug and we don't know about it.
Sorry to interrupt. I think Brady's gotten better and better and better. You know, you day one, you're not going to be perfect. I'm talking about his announcing skills. He's so, you know, intelligent about the game. It took a minute. You know, doing TV is weird when you haven't done it. And, you know, knowing when to come in, when to come out. And I thought his last game was really good. Like, I think he's taken on that role really well.
Yeah, Greg, who's always
you know what? He's right. He's right. Honestly, he's right. The last game, the Eagles game he called, I actually thought he did a pretty good job. At the beginning of the year, I thought his personality was a little, like, stone kind of-ish. But, no, he's right. He's gotten better.
I don't think he knows yet to be himself. I think if he's himself and not announcer guy, that's going to be the best outcome. Kenny, we've got less than 30 left. Tell Vegas once again what's going on at Kimmel's on Monday.
The hottest show on the Las Vegas Strip, most controversial show, 7:30 at Kimmel's, and we appreciate the hospitality. As always, all the people in Las Vegas have been good to me about putting the word out, and I hope some folks show up, 7:30 on Monday.
Man, I hope you don't get arrested. Don't get too controversial, please. Tell your wife we appreciate her allowing you to spend a couple minutes with us. Have fun at dinner tonight.
All right. Thank you so much.
There he is.
It's an honor, man. Thank you.
Kenny Main. Kenny was actually very nice as the MC of that donut eating contest that I was part of. He did not mock and chide afterwards. But he knew we'd all underachieved.